Teaching confirmation is one of my very favorite parts of being a pastor. And I do not take it lightly that by the end of the year, I must be able to tell the elders and the congregation that these youth have been instructed properly in the Christian faith, which is what our book of worship mandates. I pray that this is true, and I thank each one of you for the work you've done this year to engage the material we've covered. I want to also thank our adult mentors and our junior mentors, some of whom had prom last night and yet are with us this morning. I also want to give a sincere thank you to Brent Stevens, who was asked to serve as weekly crowd control. But if you know Brent, you know he brought much more than that to our classroom meetings. So I thank him for that. Every confirmation class is special in its own way. Having known all of these children for more than half of their lives, and most of them since they were babies, it has been an absolute privilege to be part of their faith journey. And I cannot tell you how much joy it brings me to be a part of this special day. Something unique about this class is that many have connections to Bethlehem that precede their births. Izzy, Ethan, and Lucas each have one parent who was confirmed here. Savannah follows both of her parents in being confirmed at Bethlehem. Izzy's connection is even, where did I lost Izzy? There she is. Izzy's connection is a generation deeper even, her grandmother also being confirmed here. And Ethan is about to become a fifth generation member of our church. And finally, Natalie's great-great-uncle also pastored this church back in the 60s. This class is a beautiful witness to a faith community that is both deeply rooted and open to the fresh energy brought by more recent members. I also want to mention that Frank and Oliver Gratzer were also part of our class this year. They were dedicated and faithful in their attendance all the way through, and they have elected not to join the church at this time. And our time together was always about positioning our young people to make a choice for themselves, and we respect and celebrate that all 12 have chosen to do what is right for them. And we recognize that a no now is not a no forever, and that the Holy Spirit is at work in ways that we can't always name. Please join me for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Confirmands, I want to talk directly to you this morning, so I'm going to move down here where we can actually look at one another face to face. And also, I'm going to talk a lot today about being a teenager, and just in case you're worried that I've lost it, I know that a couple of you are still 12, but I promise, as Miss Margaret said, we'll blink twice, and you too will be teenagers. So for convenience sake, I'm making you honorary teenagers today. That does not give you license to have attitude with your parents, though. You still have to wait a little while for that. The teenage years are all about change. First of all, you are changing. Don't worry. I know you don't want to hear about puberty from your pastor, so I will trust your parents to cover that at a later time. But you are changing, and there are all other sorts of changes that I want to talk about today. You may have noticed that as you grow, there's a change in the expectations people have of you. You're expected to take on more responsibility, like helping around the house, maybe laundry or dishes or mowing the lawn. You make more and more of your own decisions about how you spend your time. Maybe nobody checks your backpack anymore. Your homework is your responsibility. You're also expected to take more responsibility for keeping your own self alive, a burden your parents have largely carried up until now. And as you spend more time away from home at activities or with your friends, it may start to dawn on mom and dad that they won't always be around to remind you to look both ways before you cross the street. So don't be surprised if they suddenly start blurting out random pieces of information they think you need to know to survive out in the real world. This is what I like to call panic parenting. You know not to take rides or candy from strangers, right? Always clean the lint trap on the dryer because it can cause a fire. Credit cards are not free money. Pay it off every month. And you'll stand there like, I am 13. I'm not going out into the real world for 5 years. But your parents will be standing there like, oh my gosh, we only have 5 years left to tell them everything. They're panicked. 5 years seems short to them. Anyway, always carry jumper cables. It's not just your responsibilities that are changing. The world around you is changing too. And you already know this just from trying to keep up with what's in style or what's the latest and greatest gadget to have. Keeping up with what's cool requires vigilance because it changes without notice. Miss Margaret, who is always cooler and more in touch than I am, informed me this week that Stanley water bottles are so 2024. We're now drinking out of, how do you even say it? Awalas now. When did that happen, and how were we supposed to know? There's always some degree of needing to keep up with what's in style. That's always been true. But with influencers putting out new content all the time, it seems that fads change faster and faster in your generation than ever before. An unfortunate side effect of influencers and rapidly changing fads is that we become programmed for novelty. What I mean is we train ourselves to expect something new all the time. And that also means we get bored really quickly. Take a moment and think, if you can, about what was the thing you just had to have, even just this past Christmas. Can you even remember? And if you can, is it something that still you use daily in your lives? Does it still appeal to you? Or has it already been forgotten? You were born into a culture that does not allow for contentment. A culture that is always looking for the new thing, which is always assumed to be an improvement over the old things, whether or not that's actually true. And none of that is your fault. You have inherited this culture and these attitudes. But it's good for you to see that it influences you to always be looking for what's next, to feel like what you have already isn't enough. And it tells you that you ought to reject the old simply because its freshness has worn off. The world around you may always be rushing toward what's new, but you actually do have the power to slow it down. You can tap the brakes at any time. You can interrupt these cultural forces with slight acts of defiance. It can be as simple as saying, nah, this water bottle still works fine. Or, I know everyone else is wearing them, but I actually think those shoes are ugly. You get the idea. Confirmands. Against the backdrop of our ever-changing world, we gather today because the 10 of you have come to confirm your baptismal vows. And I have an important question for you, for all of us, really. What does it mean, in the midst of our rapidly changing world, a world always chasing the new and improved, for you to come before this church family, your own families, and God, and commit yourselves to an ancient story? What does it mean for you to do something that 82 other classes of teenagers have already done? This isn't exactly novel. You aren't the first ones to think of it. It's not the latest craze or some hack you learned online. What does it mean that while you're trying to keep up with what's on trend out there, you are simultaneously saying yes to a God who has been there from the very beginning, in fact, from before the beginning? What does it mean for you to put on robes and stoles, which would not pass any influencer's approval, and commit your lives to the God who wrote your days in a book before you ever saw the light of day? the God who knit you together in your mother's womb. Today, you will commit to follow not an influencer with a flashy new product, but an ancient teacher whose greatest hits include love your enemies. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Pick up your cross and follow me. You commit to following the same ancient teacher your parents and grandparents and these people, who don't look anything like teenagers today, right? The same people who stood in this sanctuary and committed, the same God that people, these people stood in this sanctuary and committed to follow. I hate to break it to you, but what you're doing here today, it's not cool. This will not be your big viral moment. Your confirmation will not be trending online. What you're doing today will not make you rich, famous, powerful, or anything else that you could learn on YouTube or TikTok. Anything else that those social media platforms might teach you how to be. Taking responsibility for your own faith, becoming a Christian, joining a church, none of it is cool by the world's standards. But you already know that cool isn't everything. What you're doing here today is better than cool. It's meaningful. It's worthwhile. It's true. It's right. It's good. And it lasts. And it just might change your life. The faith you claim as your own today is nothing new. It has sustained communities and individuals all over the globe for literally thousands of years through both joys and unfathomable tragedies. And it is our prayer that your faith will hold you in hard times in your lives as it has held us in the difficult seasons of ours. But faith's usefulness is not why we say yes to God. Saying yes to God is not just one tool to navigate life, one thing more to put on a resume. We say yes to God because God said yes to us. The God who never had to create but chose to. The God who could have abandoned us when we've gone astray but instead has reached and reached and reached for us. The God who put on human flesh and came right down here to live with us. That God said yes to relationship with us. Nothing new and improved will ever come along to replace this relationship. The psalmist captures it and its enduring quality when he asks, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" There's an implied answer there, isn't there? Where could I go? Nowhere. He continues, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that is the underworld, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast." God's presence is inescapable. Confirmands, there may come a time in your life when you find that you have strayed far from God, the church, or even your own sense of who you are. There may come a time when you allow what is new and improved to distract you from this ancient story that you claim as your own today. Even then, no matter what you've gotten yourself into, God will already be there. Friends, you are in the midst of rapid change. This will not slow down anytime soon. You will continue to grow, to take on new responsibilities, pursue new interests, make new friends, make mistakes, try again, and learn new things. But today, you are confirming your faith in the one who is unchanging, the one who has been there since before you were, and who will be with you come what may in this life and the next. Long after your shoes, your skincare, and your Spotify playlists have been replaced by the new latest thing, what you affirm today will still be true. Today you will say yes to the God who first said yes to you. And this yes is not your final word. You're only getting started. And we can't wait to watch as you continue in your life of faith as disciples of Jesus Christ. We are so excited to welcome you into official membership here at Bethlehem. Thanks be to God. Amen.